Okay, the recording. We're recording. Wow, that's nice. I haven't seen you for ages. Shlomo, you have the
Listen,
place?
You only started last week, eh? You were off for about a month.
I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just observing a fact that you and I haven't seen each other for a long time, and I still can't see you. Shalom shanev, but I can hear you.
What, do you have the page, Rabbi?
Yeah, just one second. Let me just find it. I'm looking at that's what I was asking you, but if you don't know, then let me try and dredge it out here.
I have a page, but I'm not sure if it's the right one. Shin Ayin Bet, maybe.
No, it's not there. Why didn't I mark this? One second. Yeah. Shin Ayin Base.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Chelek Haravi.
Yeah, I got it. Thank you.
Okay, we'll see the interesting stuff here. Anyway, so Yonatan, I'm sure you're up to date. You've kept up and done Chazorah while we've been having a break. We're in the fourth category of seven. I don't know how long ago it was when we started these categories. They have to go back and do Chazorah. Let's see what he says. What is the fourth category? Let's just summarize. The last three categories dealt with a person's situation in this world. Remember, there were things that pertain to this world, there are things that pertain to the next world. In this world, there are things that pertain to him, relationships, etc., etc. Those things in this world are related to his health, his panasa, his relationship with family and others. Should be starting to ring a bell, yeah? This one, the fourth category, is in another darga, and it relates to a person's ability to keep mitzvahs. We'll see. It's going to relate to mitzvahs. There's a ma'od, besides the fact that it's very difficult, but we'll see. There's some interesting stuff here. So it says like this: the pirusha chelik haravi b'inyan chayvus halavavus va'avarim she'adam misyached b'ta'aloisam v'niskom. This is now we're going to explain the fourth category, which relates to the chayvus halavavus, the spiritual obligations that a person has. Internal, the mind, the obligations then is his mind. I'm using Rav Avigdor Miller's translation of Levia in the Chovas HaLevavos as mind, not as heart. You see Rav Avigdor Miller's Chovas HaLevavos, he translates as duties of the mind, not of the heart. It's not always so clear the translation, but in the Chovas HaLevavos, it's posh, it's always talking about the mind. So those are the Ruchnias Dika obligations that a person has is in mind and the body. Which have some impact only on the person himself. It's we're talking about the mitzvahs ben adam lemakom and ben adam laatzmoy, where no one else is involved. You benefit from doing these mitzvahs, you lose from not doing these mitzvahs, but it's nothing to do with anybody else. They don't directly, obviously, indirectly, what we do impacts on everybody, but there's no direct impact of what you're doing on anybody else. Obviously, every mitzvah we do positively impacts on everybody else. But we're talking about there's no obvious direct impact. So it only relates to the benefit and the harm to himself. Examples are fasting, davening, sukkah. Oh, wow, I didn't even realize. Oh, geez, that's bad news, man. I hope we have enough battery to get through. I just realized I haven't charged my phone the whole day and it's down to 15%. If I just go dead, give me 2 minutes, I'll run inside and get a charge and come back on again, okay? I don't want to go now and whatever. Let's keep going. If it mamash dies, I'll you'll give me 2 minutes, I'll run inside and plug the charge in. I apologize. I didn't notice. Okay. So that's tzayim, tfila, sukkah, lulav, tzitzis. Obviously, that really has no impact on anybody else. Ushmiras Hashabbos v'amadim v'amanah min aveiros, not doing aveiros, kosher food, shatnas, all sorts of different things. But kol chayvus halavavus, it includes all the duties of the mind. Asher lo ta'avorna al elzulosei, they don't affect others. Obviously, a person's midas and whatever do affect other people. We're talking about in the inner duties of his mind, his betochen, his imunah. That's between him and himself, and him and Hashem doesn't have direct benefits on anybody else. Asher lo tavona al zulosoy, v'talosam v'niskon, miyuchodes boy mibli sha'bnei adam. the direct benefits and harm upon the nezek are limited to himself without impacting on anybody else. Obviously, he's going to discuss now what your betochen in these areas is. So he says the correct way of placing betochen in Hashem, to be relying on Hashem, Baruch Hu, is in all these things, is ma she'ani mevayah osoy, is what I'll now explain. U'me'elokim eshoy lohoyres oysa emes berachamav. Now, he's never done this before, huh? I first ask that Hashem in his mercy will guide me to say the truth, that I'll be able to explain it properly. Unbelievable. He hasn't said that yet. We're already well into the Chovos HaLevavos. We're in Perek Dalet already, towards the end of Perek Dalet already. Now suddenly he needs help. Up to now it was fine. Up to now he was managing quite well on his own. Now suddenly he needs a tefillah. Wow. So I don't know what to make of that, but what you have to understand is we're about to discuss something that obviously is choshuv. It requires a tefillah, a moiridik. Unbelievable, and you'll see that it's not a poshut sugya. So let's see what he says. We're touching on the sugya of bechiraya. You'll notice that obviously when one's dealing with these subject that he's mentioning here, Bechira becomes a big subject. It could be that's what the Matnas Chelko is talking about. I don't know. The Bechira is about to discuss Bechira, and it's so choshuv. That's why he felt he needed a special tefillah that he should be able to explain it properly. Anybody who's ever put their head into trying to understand Bechira properly knows that you need a lot of tefillah to understand anything about Bechira, because it's a bit of a mystery. You know, I was glad to hear that Rebecca's schmooze on Wednesday is going to be discussing Bechira. So the title of his schmooze is Some of the What and Why of Bechira. So hopefully we'll get a bit more clarity in Bechira. Fine. So it says like this. V'hu. Ki b'mayse avoyde v'haveyre lo yitochnu lo'odom ki im behikobet shloisha dvorim. The correct application of betochen in these chiyuvim that a person has, it's not possible for a person to do a mitzvah or to commit an aveira unless there are three things that come together. You need three things in order to do a mitzvah or to do an aveira. And the mitzvah is not completed until you did all three things, and the aveira is not completed until you did all three things. The first one is you have to choose with your mind and your inner being, your inner world, to either serve Hashem or to go against his rotzon, to do what we call an aveira. I'm going to do this mitzvah. I'm going to not do this mitzvah. I'm going to do this aveira. I'm not going to do the aveira. There needs to be a bechira. Hasheni hakavona v'haskoma lasos mashe bocho boy. The second is you need the intention, the resolve, the commitment to doing what you chose to do. You can choose to do something and then go to bed. You have to have the bechira, and then you have to have the commitment, the dedication, the resolve. I don't know which is the correct word here. He calls it the kavona v'haskoma, the intention and the inner agreement to do something. That's usually the hardest thing, by the way. I heard from Rav Tisiyahu that the pshat in kolat cholos kashos, it doesn't mean, let's say, for example, you want to wake up early tomorrow morning. Yeah, you decide you want to wake up early, you're going to start davening nights. So kolat cholos kashos, it means the first few mornings are going to be tough, and then afterwards it gets a bit easier. That's not kolat cholos. Waking up in the morning is not the hatchola. The hatchola is this. It's the kavon of the haskama belief. When a person makes up his mind to do something, invariably you'll do it. You may be prevented. We'll see now. That's the third step, which has nothing to do with him. But usually, if you make up your mind, I'm getting up tomorrow at 5 o'clock because we're going on a teal, or because I've got a bris, or because whatever reason, if you made up your mind, you'll do it. Where's the difficulty is making up your mind to do it. Once you've made your mind up to do it, you'll do it. The hard part is making the commitment. Yeah, maybe next week, where I have such a busy week, then I'll start davening nights, or I'll push it off, or no, or yeah. But you've made the decision. That's it. So that's the second area. The The third is that he'll actually go and make some ishtadlis to complete the maisa by avarov hanirim vayoytze el gerer maisa. Applying yourself to perform, to get your goof out there and to go do what you need to do in order to fulfill what you chose to do. You've chosen it and you've resolved to do it. You have kavanah to do it. Now you actually have to do it. That's the completion of the process that started with the Bechira. You have to do something. So now let's see where Betochen fits in here. Where does Betochen kick into these three, each of these three things? Let's try and see where Betochen, how Betochen relates to these three things. There are things, yeah, that are within his control and things that are beyond his control. First of all, choosing to do the mitzvah or to do the aveira, and then intending and having kavana and making up your mind and being committed, that's what you're going to do. Habatochen elokim b'zeh tols v'sichlus. Betochen in Hashem in that area is a mistake and it's stupidity, it's foolishness. Sichlus. Not a nice thing. That a person's going to make up his mind to do a veira, not do an aveira, he's going to rely on Hashem, he's going to betochen there, and that's not the place for betochen. There's no room for betochen there. It's foolish. Ki abayis barach haniach barushu seini bechiras avadoisa v'amaroisoim. Hashem gave us bechira to serve him or not to serve him. That's the bechira we have. K'mo shekosu v'bachata b'chaim. I'm giving you this path. They're both valid paths. You choose which way you want to go. Hashem wants us to choose the right path. U'bachata b'chaim. He asks us, please go the nice way because I don't want to have to sort you out, definitely that I don't have to punish you. Aval, you have the choice. You have a choice. So yeah, there's no room to rely on him for your bechira and your resolve to do a mitzvah or not. So for the first two steps, yeah, there's no betochen. There's no room for betochen there. Oh, sorry. What he didn't put in our control, in our full control, it's hard to see the degree, but what he didn't put in our complete control is the completion of the act, the mitzvah, the veira that you decided to do. They're dependent on things that are beyond us, that we have no control over. Sometimes the necessary facts exist which enable you to do the mitzvah, and sometimes they don't. You're going to make a bechira decision that you're going to take a lulav, and you have the commitment, and you're going to do it, and you've got it all planned out, and there's just no esregim grew this year. What are you going to do? You want to give tzedakah, you committed to whatever, and then but there's no money. Many, many areas like that. Sometimes they don't. You might want to learn Torah. He brings an example. Yeah, I don't know who he brings this from, but he brings an example. Yeah, you may want to learn Torah. So you make the decision that you committed and you go to the Beis Midrash and there's no one there to teach you and you don't know how to learn. There are many examples of this. That a person will trust Hashem in regard to the initial stages. If a person is going back now, if a person will have betochen in Hashem, in the initial stages, yeah, stage 1 and 2. I'm not going to choose. I'm not going to commit to avodas avoda. Ad sheyivcholi atoiv mimenu. Until Hashem chooses for me the good, Hashem will come to me and he'll get me to do what I have to do. So kva to. He's already bent himself off. He's already, as we say in South Africa, he's swerving. He's off the derech. And he stumbled off the path. He stumbled in the wrong direction. He seems to be repeating himself, and I don't know what to do with that. This is a Rishon. I don't know what he's adding here. Nilo Yoda. I'm just pointing out that he seems to be repeating himself here a little bit. I don't know if you picked that up. We've said this already. He called it before Tols Vesichlus. Yeah, okay, I'm down to 5%. Yeah, okay. He calls it Tols Vesichlus. Now he says, no, you've gone off the straight path. You've stumbled off the correct way. Because Hashem gave us a choice. He said that already. You know what? I'm down to 5%. If it switches off, it's going to take me a whole long time to reboot or whatever. I'm going to run in. I'm just going to take 1 minute just to get the charge and try and get it charging plugged in before it switches off. I'm sorry. Just give me 1 minute. Okay, I'm coming now. Okay, good. All right, we shouldn't get cut off now. See, during the corona, I was all set up. I charges, yeah, everything was all set up. Now we, as I say, we're back to normal. So I don't have a charger here. Okay, so once again, I don't know why he's repeating himself. You already said,
I think he's saying it a bit differently. He's giving it more as like a visual, like he's speaking out like a scenario. Like he's the guy will say, like he's trying to visualize it more, like he's like speaking out like as an act or like it's happening. I don't know, maybe
I don't know. I've always struggled with the Chayv HaSalavavus at that level. I was like a Rosh boy, you know. It's like Ian Godel, eh? Let's not forget that the Rosh used to learn the Sefer, okay? This is a Sefer written by Rishon that the Rishonim themselves learned, you know. So I assume I'm not going to get it all. My starting point is that it's like there's stuff going on here that's, you know, it's the only Sefer I know that has a skoma directly from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know. That I don't need any other Sefer that comes with a skoma from a Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Isn't he trying to say like slightly more that not only yes you must bachar b'chaim, but this is saying don't think that you must bachar b'chaim when it happens to be that Hashem puts you in that. They have bitoch and Hashem will put you in the right situation and you choose it. He's saying you have to actually go out and seek it. It's like a step further. It's doing something about it instead of just sitting there and saying, bitoch, and it comes your way. Do what's right, you know? But if it doesn't, then it's not your problem to chase it.
Well, that's what you see him saying.
I don't know. See, that's what I understood from his second part. It was quite amazing to think like, you know, you would think if you have bitoch, then why do you need to do anything? You know, Hashem will put you in the situation that you have to be in. But if Hashem doesn't put you in any situation, doesn't do anything, then what must you do? You just be. He's saying, go. Don't just be. Do something about your life.
you're touching on something here that the what's the name brings down the marpele nefesh matas chelkoi the laivari the pirushim there at the bottom the chovus levavos. I think you're touching on something. He's saying, yeah, he says, what will happen is a person will sit around and say, listen, you know, I'm not going to do anything. I'll wait till Hashem gives me inspiration. He uses a lot of inspiration to serve Him. He'll put the rotzen in my heart to do the mitzvah. Right now, lo bali. Right now, I don't have a cheshek to do this. I'm going to sit around until Hashem gives me a cheshek to do it. Then I'll do it. Let's say he wants to learn the second chelek. Yeah, it's not the etzim bechira, but I'm choosing to wait until Hashem gives me the not the koyach to do it. That we'll see is chelek shlishi. But Hashem will inspire me. He'll give me the cheshek, the rotzen to do it. And that's what you're touching on a little bit, I think. Yeah, possibly. Okay. Okay. So what's he saying? That Hashem already commanded us to choose the maisa avoider, doing the deeds that Hashem asked us to do. And to direct ourselves and focus ourselves on that choice with commitment, resolve, with effort, with ishtadlus, and with a dedication. For Hashem's great name. That's what He's commanded us to do already. He also told us that this is the correct way to go, to choose for yourself in this world and for the world to come. Not that you'll be choosing in the world to come, but the benefits of that will happen in the world to come. So therefore, it's completely illogical and irrational for you to rely on Hashem to do the good for you when He's told you this is the one area I need you to make the effort. I'm not interfering, Hashem says. You have to make the choice to serve Hashem. You don't sit there waiting for Hashem to kind of like inspire you to serve Him. And you have to have the responsibility and the commitment to do that. Now, ve'im yizdamnu asibes ve'yitochen gma b'maisa b'vedoisov, ashe kodma b'chrosoboy. Now, if everything that he needs, the resources, the factors that he needs in order to perform what he set out to perform are present, and we're therefore able to complete the mitzvah act, after first having chosen and to do it, we chose to do it. If all the factors are there, then we'll be able to do it. Then you'll get big reward in Olam Haba for two things. For choosing, for the Bechira. And for number two, step number two, the Kavona, the resolve, the commitment to do it. But the actual completing, the performing the actual mitzvah with your body, with your limbs. Sorry. And for doing the mitzvah. Sorry. You'll get reward for all three steps. You made the bechira, you had the commitment, the resolve, and you actually went and did it with your guf. You made a bechira, you're going to get a lulav. You went out, you were committed, you found a lulav, you negotiated, you got the price, you got the right lulav, and then you actually went and did the mitzvah, shook the lulav. So you get rewarded for all those three things. But what happens if you can't gma maisa? What happens if Hashem decides you can't do the mitzvah? Yelanu scha habechira v'kavona. You'll still get the scha for the bechira and the kavona. Kashe zochan ubamashe kodom, as we mentioned above. I don't know where we mentioned this above. Chapter 3. Just let me have a look here. Because this is Ma'od Manyen. Perek Gimel. He sends us here to Perek Gimel. 57. Let me just see what he says here. Unless you guys remember. As he refers us back to there. So let's just see what he's talking about, yeah? Okay, I remember. one second. What's he talking about? Ah, this is discussing what person has to make ishtadlus for panasa. He says, therefore, a person is tested only in the first two areas. You're tested in your bechira and in your commitment, that level. Therefore, a person will go and he'll make a bechira to make his ishtadlus. That's applying these three principles to ishtadlus for panosa. If a person will make his ishtadlus and he'll make the resolve and the bechira and he'll go out there and it won't happen, so then the lokashua lav, he's disconnected from chayle gimel. But if he will get the panosa, he'll have the benefits of the panosa, the same as, yeah. If he'll have the resolve, the bechira, and he'll have the commitment, and then he'll go and do it, and Hashem will allow him to do it. He'll give him the means to do it. He gets rewarded for all three, even though Lamaisa, this the third one, really wasn't his control. Horaya, if Hashem doesn't let him do it, he doesn't get to do it. He doesn't get rewarded for that because he didn't do it. He'll get schar for the bechira, and he'll get schar for the commitment and the resolve, but he didn't do the mitzvah. So he's not going to get schar for nothing for the mitzvah. So too, the same thing with the Aveira. If he does the Aveira, he's going to get punished for choosing, for committing, and for doing. But if he failed, Hashem didn't let him do the Aveira. He was just about to do the Aveira, and whatever, the police came or whatever, and he didn't steal. He was resolved, committed, he was standing there in the Makolit, he was just about to, hold up the Makolit guy, and the police walked in. So he quietly walked out, and he didn't do the Aveira. He's going to get punished for the Bechira and for the resolve. He won't get punished for the Gzela, because he didn't do the Gzela.
It's an interesting thing he's saying, because if I recall, there's a Gemara in Kedushin that tells us that by mitzvah, if you go and you have the Bechira, the Kavana to do it, but outside circumstances stop you from doing it, you get schar as if you did it. Whereas by an Aveira not, and that's by a Jew, but not by a Goy. There's a whole lot of...
He brings it, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go into it now. He brings this Kedushin there in Lamed Ches and Daf Mem.
Yeah.
We get more in Kedushin. We're going to do that now. Yeah. I want to go into that a little bit. It's a bit late. Maybe they will end here, and unless you've got another 5-10 minutes. I don't know. You tell me. It's a good place to stop. I want to go into the exact sugya you're discussing now, Reb Shlomo. He brings us down here. If you've got time, we can go into it. Otherwise, we can leave it for next week. I mean, whatever you want.
Well, let's wait on that. It seems complicated.
The question really is the punishment for the... Let's say you couldn't get to do it. Right? That's what we're talking about. That's the most talking about. Let's say you couldn't. Step three didn't happen.
Yeah.
So is the reward for the Bechira good the same as the punishment for the Bechira bad? That's really the question.
Right.
Yeah. The Gemara seems to say they're not, and there's an interesting Magid Midubno Yah that he brings.
It sounds like, whatever, on a surface level, it sounds like he's not going with that Cheshbon. He's saying everything's equal, yeah, it sounds.
I want to see what the Pirush has to say. He's going to bring the whole sugya, and he has all the riches here, and he brings the whole thing, and he puts it together exactly how to understand Pshat in the Chovos HaLevavos. Could be the Chovos HaLevavos not learning like that. Wouldn't be the first Machlokes we've shown him that we would have. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what you guys are learning at the moment, but I'm drowning in Machlokes we've shown him at the moment.
Yeah.
I can't make head or tail out of what's going on anymore. Phew.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. I don't know the sugya so well. I went through this quickly, and I didn't even remember that it said Kiddushin. When you said Kiddushin, I looked down and I saw there, Taka, that's where he brought it from, the Gemara in Kiddushin. I knew it was a Gemara. I didn't know it was in Kiddushin. Yeah. When you said Kiddushin, Reb Shlomo, so I went, he's going to discuss this.
Okay.
You know, all those two things parallel. Usually we've seen Torah that the schar for the mitzvah and the oinish for the veira are never parallel.
The
sky is 1,000 times bigger than the 100 times bigger than the punishment, and we see all over that it's never that the midah rachamim is always bigger than the midas aperonios.
Right.
So we have to see how that fits in here. Because he seems to be saying Zotorava. So let's see. Maybe saying it's a sort of in principle, but the degree maybe is not the same.
Maybe, yeah, that could be. Yeah.
So that we have to see. That we have to see. Okay, there's also Shtikel Chofetz Chaim and Abbas Chesed that we also need to have a look at. Metz Hashem, we'll deal with that. Metz Hashem next week, Bezrat Hashem.
Shkoyach. Thank you so much.
Jonathan, they're letting Israelis back into South Africa. So, I'm.